takes a little bit.
This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad.
Not enough. I know you had a long day. Dude, not enough energy. Long day at work. I know you had a long day.
Well, we're going to keep going. This is the Water Boys podcast presented by Crossing Broad. Hello, everybody. I'm Coach Gary. With me, as always, Coach Kyle. Boom. Gave you a little coach action on that one.
I had a long day.
I did have a long day. These audits killing me.
You think office life is easy?
Office life's not easy, dude.
Yeah, I did it for 2 years.
So it's a long time.
It's
five less than I've been in it.
You got to drive around in a car for...
Well, that was a lot of fun.
First couple years of life. Office life ain't easy. It ain't for the faint of heart.
Well, I was in the office for 3 years before I was on the road, so people forget that.
A lot of people like open up the door and say, hey, Gary, I need something, or just like too much auditing.
It's just a lot of auditing going on right now. Yeah. Big thing. Big audit coming up.
There's
external audit.
Nothing worse. And that's why I never made it in the office life. Just don't have the attention to detail that you need in a true audit. Because if you fuck up the audit, you could get fined. Millions and millions of dollars. You're done.
Hey, it's no financial audit, though. It's a process audit, though. So you going with a little red wine tonight?
Yeah, a little full body red, Josh.
It's an adult move.
Really good price point, really good wine.
It's an adult move.
Yeah, caps off.
Wild man thing to do in the middle of the summer, though. I feel like wine's a winter only drink.
False. White wine is a summer drink, and red wine is cold enough that it's room temp, and it's cold enough. But
white wine's always two seat.
What do you want to talk about?
What are you talking about? What?
I feel like we're losing everybody. We talked about the office and we talked about why.
Let's talk about the trade deadline. Right. How did you, were you excited about the Phillies trade deadline?
I am. I'm really excited. We got this guy. I don't know if you know him, Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, I knew you were going to try and rub this in my face. I mean, you bought Thor at the end of the Avengers where he was all fat.
So?
The guy's look.
Can he win a game three?
I don't know. He's not having a great year.
But he's not. But on surface level, when you don't look at analytics like I do, he's not having a good year.
So, like, if you don't look at it?
If you don't look at it from a surface level where you're just reading wins and losses and you're reading maybe into the ERA and stuff, you got to kind of, you know, peel back the layers. And when I mean peel back the layers, I mean Anthony Sanfilippo did all this work for me. Shout out Ant Sanfilippo. Mm-hmm. And he tweeted out, that when we got Thor, here we go. New Phillies pitcher Noah Syndergaard has made 15 starts in 2022. He got shelled in three of them, won by the Yankees. In the other 12, his stat line is this: 5-5, 69 innings pitched, 56 hits, 20 runs, 20 earned, 17 walks, 58 Ks, only 6 home runs, a 2.58 ERA, and a 1.05 whip. I'll take that.
If you're removing the shellings from good teams, I mean, I guess that means you guys just don't play Atlanta or the Mets down the stretch.
Well, one of them was the Yankees. And I know. They're in the AL, so we'll see them in the World Series.
You're removing the team that can shellack you.
I removed one team. Ant removed one team. I don't want to make this like I did it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, I mean, he's been... You go back like 2015, that 16 was obviously his best year. I don't know. I mean, he's only 29 years old. For the rental, they gave up basically nothing to get him. I mean, they desperately needed him because they roll out two bullpen games this week. So they desperately needed another starter. So it made most sense. I thought the Phillies were aggressively cautious and had a very smart trade deadline.
That's a good way to put it. I think aggressively cautious. We got Brandon Marsh, who was a top 100 prospect. Everyone was really angry that we gave up Logan Ohapi. I thought his name was Logan Ohap. Once I found out it was Ohapi, I just thought that's a bust right there. We can't be having that guy.
There's Brandon Marsh said about what's going on with the Phillies and their farm system, though, because it's not overly deep, and like there you can sit here and say like, oh, you can just go out and buy guys and buy guys and buy guys, but if you really look at it, the Phillies have what, two homegrown guys on the team right now, with I guess Reese and Boehm. Those are really the only two that you have there. Everyone else was brought in. Nola, that's fair. And I guess you could say Ranger brought in, or was he a drafty?
Yeah.
So I guess my whole thing is if you look at teams like, you know,
Stott,
the Yankees and the Dodgers, they do a great job of buying their talent, but also developing. And so that's why, like, I feel like the Phillies have to do these like cautious trades, even though they got good names. They had to do these cautious trades, so it's kind of just what the situation they've put themselves in.
Gotta think, still a lot of the guys are still Matt Klentak guys too. So that just
and it's
means-
not only that. I mean, like, it's just an embarrassing. It's an embarrassing run out of the city of Philadelphia in drafting in the last few years. I mean,
well, yeah, that's
all
why
those first round picks are just gone.
But that's why Dave Dombrowski came. But you could say that about. You could also say that about every Philadelphia team from 2016 to 2017. Every
well, that's
top
what I'm saying. Pick. Every Philadelphia team.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd also, but that's why Dave Dombrowski basically fired the whole farm system and got Don right. Mattingly's kid here in Preston. Mr. Preston?
Preston what movie? Mattingly?
What movie? Oh, can I do the ficus for Mr. you, Deeds. Mr. Preston? Yeah, there
I
you go.
You know, I have the leaves on your ficus tree. Preston? Yes. Yes.
So I mean, that's why we have a new farm system. The two top guys are Andrew Painter, drafted by Dombrowski. Mick Gable, I don't think was, but they kept their two top pitchers. And this is what I was talking to with Bob Wankel about a little bit. It's like, it's awesome that, like, you know, we have a 20-year-old and we have a 19-year-old in the system who is our two best prospects that, you know, hopefully turn into like Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux. But like, are we going to see him in 2026 or are we going to see him in like 2024?
Yeah, it's also like, does he develop a nice pitch? Like that's the other thing with these pitchers. It's like you can come in there and throw as hard as you want until you can develop your good secondary pitch. Like, and you can trust it in games, it's not going to work for you. I mean, for years they had that problem with Cole Hamels. They were like, you need to develop a third pitch, and then he finally started throwing a curveball.
I just look back at Kyle Drabek and Sixto Sanchez. Remember Sixto Sanchez was like the next coming of Pedro Martinez? The guy
yeah, well,
pitched
the, Kayla, the Drabek one thing was hilarious. It's like, we can't trade Drabek, yeah. And you wind up and go and get a Hall of Famer. You never won here, but addicted to thrills, but you did get him.
He was addicted to thrills. And pills.
Thrills and pills, baby.
Listen.
Rename the podcast.
Sell a shirt. Rename the podcast. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you know, you go Thor, you go a very good defensive center fielder that you have under team control for five mm-hmm. more years.
That
David
was their
Robertson,
best trade.
David Robertson?
Shares up defense. I mean, shares up the bullpen.
Came in, 1-2 punch from him and Sir Anthony today. Struck out two guys, got a lazy pop fly foul ball, wearing Cubs cleats, which I think he has to wear for their, until he gives up a run or loses a game. You don't fuck with a
crazy
winning
thing
streak.
Is, can you really tell that they're Cubs cleats?
No,
mean,
because
the Phillies
right.
are allowed to wear blue, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, you could be like, oh, he's just wearing blue cleats.
I mean, how do you think your trade deadline went? You traded four players for Darren Ruff. I'll tell you about Darren Ruff.
No, I know about
Not
Darren
four players,
Ruff.
Worthy.
I think it was like a quantity over quality thing because they have the Mets. What right now are in this weird situation where they have an oddly deep farm system. Like over the last few years, they've really revamped it. JD Davis had to go. It was just time to get him out of here. And I feel like what the Mets approach was, they didn't want to give up their top prospects because they think all of them are close to ascending. If you look at the Mets for next year, they do have some free agents that are coming up. So they're going to have to make some decisions. So instead of going and spending a ton of money on a bat, they get Vogelbach and Ruff, which can be your DH by committee because one hits lefties, one hits righty at a very high rate, too. I mean, Vogelbach went out today and hit a grand slam against the righty, and then Ruff's going to hit against your lefties.
They have the beefy Vogelbach?
Oh, yeah. They made that addition last week.
The guy who looks like a Northeast Philadelphia bouncer.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the guy, the Vogey Hoagie, that's what they've been calling him. He just goes out there and mashes. He walks and mashes.
I thought they called him
does.
Grinders in New York.
I don't know. Now they just call him the Vogey Hoagie. And let me tell you something. They it's kind of smart what they did. The Mets, I just got done reading, can't remember his name right now. The big sabermetrics guy.
Nate Silver.
No. Big sabermetric baseball guy. He's like the founder of Moneyball. I just got done reading it.
Billy Bean.
No, Billy Bean wanted to go work for the Red Sox because of it. They finally hired him. It's like some dude. It's like some random dude, but not Peter Brandt. He's a fake name. But anyway, I was just reading about it. The Mets have really kind of went with that. I'm gonna get two guys who are relatively cheap, and the prospects they gave up for Darren Ruff were basically nothing. So it's like, whatever. They got two guys that are relatively cheap. They're going to be able to commission them. The second they go to the bullpen now, they can be like, all right, Vogelbach's coming up, and he's a lefty, and they put a lefty in the game. We're just going to swap him out and put Ruff in. And then they also acquired Tyler Nyquin about a week ago. So they really filled in their bench because realistically they've gotten this far with the roster they have. They filled in the gaps. And then if you want to play this game, because the Phillies are making this argument as well, you get Segura back, and then a couple of weeks you're getting, you know, Harper back. The Mets just got DeGrom last night. He pitched five innings, was dominant, and then the bullpen came in and blew it.
Yeah, the best free agent pickup we got was Bryce Harper getting pins out of his thumb.
Right, and Segura coming back is huge for them. I mean, the Phillies, what's the most fun about all of it, because, you know, as the Phillies were probably made the most splash moves because they got the most, I mean, Thor's probably the biggest name that comes back to the NL East, right, because he's had the most success out of any player. I know the Braves made a lot of moves, and they made a lot of smart moves. I think all three teams made very smart moves because all three teams know they're into it. I think the Braves really do have their sights set on the Mets. I think the Phillies have their sights kind of set on the Braves. So, like, I don't know if it's 60. I think there's like 50 some games left. The Mets are up 8 on the Phillies and 3.5 on the
up 10 on the Phils now.
Up 10 on the Phils. So it's, you know, that's the Phillies are playing for a wild card. The Braves still think they're in it, but there's a 5-game series coming up between the Mets and the Braves this week.
Braves are, man, you watched last night. I mean, the power that the Braves had, the pitching that the Braves had.
Yeah.
And that Strider dude is like,
Mets lit him up.
Is he a rookie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome. Terrible mustache, but awesome.
The cool thing about this
lineup, 1-7, is fucking awesome.
The cool part about the Braves Mets series, it's a 5-game series because there's a doubleheader in there. So you're going to see all 5 pitchers get to go against the team. So you're going to get a pretty good idea of how these two teams really match up.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it.
It sucks because, like, Soto going to the Padres, now we're all just fighting. I mean, not us.
Well,
the Phillies are fighting for third. They're basically fighting the Cardinals. With the Cardinals, the NL Central kind of sucks. Brewers are okay. They're not really a number one team in the division.
But those are two teams that are just going to continually be just as good as the Phillies the rest of the way, and they're going to be in the they're going to block them.
They have the Cubs. They have the Pirates. The Cubs actually didn't sell as much as I thought they were going to at the deadline.
Well, I think the Mets were super interested in both Robertson and Contreras. They're trying to get them together, but Contreras would have been a rental, which I think Robinson is as well. And the Mets have the number one prospect in baseball, catcher, ready to come up. I think he'll be on the roster by the end of the year. So they didn't want to, you know, they don't want to go give up capital to get a guy they're only going to have for 1 year. And, you know, look, they got burnt last year on Pete Crow Armstrong, and now he's developing, and they couldn't re-sign Javi. So, and which is probably a good thing. They didn't re-sign him because he had a dog shit year.
Are you ready for the Phils versus Mets in the first round?
Can that happen?
Yeah. Yeah,
we'd no, be the third. The Phillies would have to, if you're saying the Braves wind up beating them.
I thought the third wild card would play the first overall team.
No, I think the first two teams get a bye, and the other four play each other. It's the old NFL setup. There's 6 teams.
Okay.
So I think if the third wild card, you would draw probably the Brewers in the first round.
We've beat up on the Brewers all year.
Yeah.
Give me the Brewers.
Because they'd be the first division winner that, because it would be the Dodgers and the Mets most likely getting the bye, and then the Brewers would be the third division winner.
Dude, right,
there's only 3 division winners.
I mean, that would be a bitch because then the Braves would play a division winner and
the no, Padres the Braves would play. The Braves would wind up playing
us.
No, the Cardinals or the Padres, I think, because the Braves
would be 2 wild card teams. This is Gary and Kyle figuring out the playoffs.
But there's only 3 divisions, aren't there?
Yeah, there's only 3 divisions. So
East, Central, and West.
I think the first wild card plays the third wild. No, probably.
No, the first wild card would probably play the second wild card, and the division winner would probably play the last wild card. Think of it as a 1-6.
Yeah.
Right? So 1 and 3 are through. That means 3 is going to play 6, 4 is going to play 5.
Damn, Padres, Braves.
It'd be fun. Braves in the series. The Braves are just a more complete team.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about the whole Padres thing? Are they really going to play 3 guys $1 billion?
No. I wouldn't be surprised if Juan Soto gets traded at the deadline again next year.
Yeah.
Not to be able to afford to keep him. And they already paid Machado. And the other thing, it's like, they're, you know, what's the marketability of it? And there's only, if you really want to think about the Soto sweepstakes, if he gets to 2025 as a free agent, there's really only 3 teams in Major League Baseball that can probably afford to pay what he wants to make. That's the Mets, the Yankees, and the Dodgers.
And the Phillies. Don't forget to put the Phillies in there.
Well, they have a cute amount of money, but
we went over the tax
by then.
We went over the tax. John Middleton's been really like loose. He's been around the stadium, high fiving people, hanging out with everybody, giving people free upgrades and whatnot. He doesn't care about money anymore.
I think the thing is with like Soto, you're like, even if you're over the cap, I think you're like doubling your payroll. He's going to get $600 million. I mean, Trout got $500 million.
Inflation.
I'm. It's only 3 years away. He'll be 24. No, he'll be 26 when he's signing this deal. He's going to get 10 years, $600 million. He's going to get close to $600 million.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well,
he'll sign the most lucrative contract in professional sports history.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Man, that was actually kind of a fun baseball talk.
Yeah.
Baseball's fun right now. August is the best time for baseball. September is a great time for baseball. October is a great time for baseball.
It'll also be nice, too, because you got the dog shit reports coming out of Eagles training camp, and you don't have to focus on them right now.
I missed the beats today.
Did you? Did they not practice or something today?
They had a walkthrough, so practice was closed, I'm pretty sure. Either they were off or they had a walkthrough, which I like that. I like, you know, we don't need it every day, but I missed it today. I have an insatiable desire to know what Jalen Reagor's doing or to know what...
It's cap.
Yeah. I mean, his cap ass shit. Funny. I have a thought on this. Not a thought, but a question. Hassan Reddick has not been getting. Is that good or is that bad?
It's probably a good thing. Fly under the radar.
Or is it a bad thing? Whereas he's the
training ultimate. Camp. He's training camp. They're not allowed to touch the quarterback, so it doesn't matter.
I heard a lot about Jordan Davis. Heard a lot about Javon Hargrave.
Jordan. I think because they're doing one on ones against the interior offensive line. You don't really see as much. In one-on-ones,
they're also
with defensive ends.
Every video is like, look how big Jordan Davis is next to this guy, or look how big
it's
Jordan
the Altuve
Davis
is standing next to Judge picture. That's what it is.
This is Jordan Davis at the field goal. Look how big he is. Look how big Jordan Davis is lying on the ground. He can go from the 10-yard line to the end zone.
I also heard Merrill Reese called in. He's all in on what is his name, Britton Covey.
Yeah.
He's like, this guy is electric. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. Paul Turner again.
He's going to be punt returning. I mean, I don't know if Jalen Reagor's going to have a job. Like,
I mean, I don't think they can cut him because it costs them money.
$8 million.
Like, they need to trade him.
Yeah. For a seventh rounder, which is awesome.
Someone just get hurt?
Oh, a ton of guys have gotten hurt. James Washington got hurt from the Cowboys.
Well, you're not going to send him there because he's going to wind up going there and being good. That's what will happen.
Him and CeeDee Lamb.
They should just send him to Washington and see if he can destroy that team from the inside out. If him and Wentz can have a bad teammate off.
Yeah, I mean, three picks.
Or just sad boy off.
In four snaps. Three picks and four snaps. It's just the wasteland of Howie Roseman toys.
I don't know how you can root for that team.
Did you see the pictures of training camp?
There's no one there.
It was so sad.
They have, there's also the videos of just like Snyder just floating on his yacht miles and miles offshore, just avoiding the United States government.
Yeah, he's doing like Zoom calls with like the DOJ and like none of them being recorded and none of them are live and none of them are coming to the public. He's just like, he's like in his, remember when Jerry Jones was in his yacht for the draft that one year with COVID? That's basically like what like Daniel Snyder is doing.
Good for Daniel.
Yeah, I think there was that story one year that he called in from his yacht to make one of the picks and everyone was like, we can't go with him. He's like, no, he's our guy. Calling in from like a Ibiza.
Tico, Texas. I am just sick of, I'm just sick of like, I don't know how you could ever let your owner just pick players.
Well, when he pays your salary,
Jalen Reagor,
and he's a billionaire and he basically can control your next job or he can, you know, blackball you from the league.
Just think about it. It's like, I feel like at a point, like if you were an owner, maybe it's just because I'm not wealthy with power right now, but it's like, if I were an owner, I'd be like, I pay you guys a lot of money. Here's who I like, but you guys do what's best for the team.
I would want nothing to do with it.
I don't even know if I would want here's who's who I like.
I don't know if I would. Like Lori like watches tape. Like you couldn't pay me to watch tape.
See, I feel like at that point you're just faking it.
Yeah.
It's like you're being a phony. A big old phony.
He was in like garbage kicking that Tony Danza kicker movie and now he thinks he can like watch tape on like who the Eagles should draft. Like just you hire these guys for a reason. If I was a CEO or an owner of a business, I'd be like, I hired you guys for a reason so that I can go down to Avalon or CIO and go to Dead Dog.
If I were Jeffrey Lurie, I'd be like, the check clear and my box is ready. Good. Okay. I'll see you on Sunday.
Is the line black? That's awesome. Am I making money? Let's go.
Yeah. As long as I'm making money and watching football, I think I'd be happy.
No, but I honestly did miss the Beats tweets because like it was boring today. Like I watched the Phillies game and it was like, it was a pitcher's duel.
It was a good Phillies game though.
It was a pitcher's duel for a little bit. Then Castellanos got hot because he's back.
Who's your favorite beat going right now? Are we gonna bring the beat off back as well?
We might. I think they all serve
for that now.
No, I don't. I mean, You know, they all serve a different purpose. John Clark, he's the video guy.
I've had enough of John Clark. I've seen the replies on Twitter getting a little out of hand. If I'm Johnny Clark, I'm looking to relocate. I've seen some of the replies. Yeah. I think it's time for Johnny to relocate somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think I'm moving beaches before there's an investigation.
Like, I think he might be like, yeah, in my next career move, I'm going to go cover the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
And just get out of here for a little while because the girls of the Jersey Shore are not too happy with him.
Yeah, the next place he wants to go, he doesn't want to introduce himself to his neighbors.
It's like, if you're John Clark, what do you say? He's like, just please don't harass my girlfriend at the bar all night.
Like, all right. My next one, like,
that
Z
was
Berman,
on Twitter. I didn't say that.
That's true. No allegations there. They're all public. Zach Berman, he doesn't tweet enough.
No, because Zach's a journalist.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get caught up in the mundaneness of everyday camp.
Now, Kevin Kincaid
going
to the dark side.
Just going down there a lot?
He's going down there once. I mean, once is all it takes to get a little, you know, get a little hit, you know, took a little hit. I mean,
took some picks.
You're always just chasing your first hit.
That's true. I feel like the ones that are out of hand are Kemsky, McLean, Elliott. I think that's, and maybe Zingaro, they're a little out of hand. But Zingaro is like such a net nothing. Like, he doesn't have like a big personality, and he's usually pretty good. He just tweets a lot. Like, he's just a younger guy, so he tweets a lot. The Elliott, Kemsky, and McLean are a lot.
Do you think Kemsky tweets too much? Maybe I just don't notice it.
I think it's everything's always like kind of tongue in cheek with him. It's like, all right, like, shut up. And McLean, that guy thinks he walks on water. He thinks he's God's gift to journalism.
I mean,
he is. But
you break enough stories, you know, you get enough followers. I mean, it'll happen to anyone. I think McManus is my favorite because he does a good breakdown at the end of every training camp where he gives you a nice 4 to 5 tweet thread. It's easy. It's digestible. Yep. That's my guy. That's my kind
of
guy.
Outside of Zach Berman, who's by far my favorite, it's not even close. One of my favorite interviews we've ever had was Tim McManus. That was a good interview we did.
Yeah, he was funny. I did not think he was funny.
The most personable beat we had on.
Yeah, and that's probably why he doesn't get in the mud a bunch of stuff. Like, he obviously had Les Bowen and Jeff McLean back in the day. You have Clark being Johnny Airports. You have, you know, just a bunch of other guys that, like, I feel like somebody always gets in the mud or sticks their foot in their mouth. Les Bowen was like the king of that.
I mean, Johnny's not in the mud. He's more in the sand, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. He's more in the Princeton.
So
I actually did miss the beat tweets because it was just a boring day today. It was kind of just like, you know, we were good on the site. We had a lot to talk about, but, you know, it was just
with the high of yesterday. It all comes down to the end, which was fun yesterday. It's tough. Excuse me. I'm just ready to kind of get going here. I think I've officially become old because I just like don't care about training camp anymore.
Well, I think training camp should be condensed.
I don't know. I feel like remember when they did Sports Rise? Like Derek Gunn was just standing out there every morning on Comcast Sports Network. Yeah. I'll get up every morning and watch that countdown to kickoff. Be all jacked up about it.
Well, you got different things you care about now. You got a wife, you got a kid, you got a job, you got an audit, you got to take care of.
Audit things.
You got to audit things now.
I'm just like in for the 16th.
You used to audit Derek Gunn and what he was doing. And now you just
audit him.
You found a bigger and better audit that pays you. Not better, but bigger.
It might be better.
Yeah, I mean, it pays you. I mean,
God knows if a lawyer's going to show up one day and be like, you're under arrest for signing all these papers. But okay. You got me. I don't know what I sign every day.
I invoke my Fifth Amendment.
Yeah. Like Alex Jones today.
Just hope you get Sue Robinson so it's only a 6-game suspension for you.
Oh, yeah. That's a joke. I mean, he's going to wind up getting suspended for a year, right?
Should you be allowed to...
The league is like, no. Like, why can't the league be like, you're suspended?
Should you be allowed to put in an appeal when the judge you hired, you didn't like the decision?
Yes. Double jeopardy.
I don't think that's what double jeopardy means.
It can't be tried for the same thing twice, but they're like, nah.
So there you go. It proves my point. Like, double jeopardy.
You can also, like, take someone to, like, civil court, too. So, like, you could go to criminal court and then go to civil court. I mean, that's what the...
Okay, good. So, Deshaun Watson wants...
They do that kind
of
stuff.
What they wanted, I think I heard, was they wanted 12 games. This is from the NFL. They want 12 games and a $10 million fine. And $10 million is what he made last year. Yeah, which I think is perfectly fine because he didn't play a down last year and he basically pulled a Ben Simmons and no one wanted to talk about it.
It's funny how the fines work because they set his contract up where he only makes $1 million this year. So he's going to lose like $300,000. That's it.
$300,000. I
mean, the Browns knew that they were going to lose him and that's why they did it this way.
Yeah. I mean, to look at what Deshaun Watson did and 20 to 30 people come out against him. And then you look at Calvin Ridley betting $1,500 on a game, or you look at guys like Josh
Gordon, who still can't play in the league. Guys just can't stop smoking weed.
like it took them until like 2016 to stop with like giving weed penalties out.
You have Aaron Rodgers come out there this morning and just admit that he's doing DMT to get and psychedelics, and they're like, "Yeah, it's fine."
Yeah,
like oh, we don't care about that.
You know, he's going on ayahuasca trips, and it's like that last like two like. 5-6 years ago, Aaron Rodgers would have got popped and he would have...
he just talks about... He also didn't get in any trouble for lying about being vaccinated. He's like, yeah, I'm inoculated. And he just made it up.
Yeah.
The standard of the NFL is...
Oh, he said he was inoculated.
He wasn't lying.
It's a big word that I don't think anyone like actually went to go study what it like,
couldn't
meant.
Tell you what
if you told me you were inoculated, I'd be like, oh, that guy's vaxxed.
Yeah, vaxxed up. He's a big lib.
Yeah, I'm not a scientist. I'm a beat reporter. What am I supposed to fucking do?
You're a beat reporter? Oh, you're talking for the people that are...
No, I'm a suit.
You are a suit. But
suits suck.
Suits do suck. Skirt suit is your girlfriend.
So now you... skirt suit. Now I'm going to have to do something wild and crazy to make... Because now you're in my brain.
About what?
Because I just feel like you think that I'm a pussy now.
No.
And it's okay if you do. That's a good question. I think Kevin's got a top 25 Eagles on the team right now.
Yeah.
Coming out tomorrow. It was a big, big conversation in our Slack chat. Where does Jalen Hurts rank?
Top 25 players on the Eagles right now?
Yeah, right now.
I can name five. All five offensive linemen are better than him.
Okay.
Two wide receivers are better than him. So that's seven. Brandon Graham's better than him.
No. Brandon Graham at this age, coming off an ACL injury, no, he's not.
All right. Fletcher Cox is better than him.
No, he's not. I would say
Davis is better than him. Javon Hargrave's better.
Jordan Davis
than
never
him.
Played a snap.
Javon Hargrave's better than him.
Slay's better than him.
Ray Bradbury's probably better than him.
There can't be probably.
Jake Elliott's probably better than him.
See, Jake Elliott was one that I actually didn't disagree with. At his position, he is valuable to the Eagles.
I would say he's probably ranked somewhere between like 14 and 10 on the team. I don't think he's top 10 most talented.
I think that's fair.
I think you can do it pretty simple just by saying five right away with the offensive line. All five offensive linemen are better than him. And then you can take Sweat Hargrave. They're seven.
I don't know if I'm I don't know if I'm ready to give Isaac Simalu better than my quarterback.
Then four of them. And so we'll just say four, five, six wide receiver. At least three defensive linemen are better than him. Hassan Reddick's better than him. Jake Elliott's better than him. And then two cornerbacks that are better than him.
James Bradbury,
if I'm looking at James Bradbury's career, he's been very good.
He has been. I'm just still jury's out. You know, got to show me. You put on the Eagles greens a lot different than putting on the Giants blue, you know? Can you play
here? I'd
make
an argument for TJ Edwards, too.
I think that's hype more. That's like putting Marcus Epps up there because they're so high on him.
Yeah, but
TJ Edwards is good. But if he comes out and he shows it this year, then yeah, I'm ready to put TJ Edwards.
N'Kobe Dean. Zach Pascal.
N'Kobe Dean's not even going to start for the first 10 weeks.
Zach Pascal. Britton Covey.
Merrill Reese's favorite player.
Their favorite player.
Yeah, I mean, I
think. So where did he wind up going?
Do you want to break
that news?
You want tease?
I think you should say the range. Was I right on the range?
You were right on the range, except for Russ. Russ had him at six, and we all just Russ.
Look, I don't want to be mean to Russ on the podcast, but I've heard Russ talk football, and sometimes I'm just like, has he ever seen a game?
hockey guy talking football.
He is a hockey guy.
Yeah. Who's tougher, hockey guy?
Do I think he's good? Sure. I think Jalen Hurts is very good, but do I think he's a top five player? Yes. Yes, I do.
Russ would be great on NBC Sports or like ESPN First Take. Be like,
I want someone to sit Russ down and make him word for word do the Adrian, what's his face, Windhorst thing. Now, why would they do that? Yes. Just put the way Russ would read it.
Yeah, it would
not
take
slow
10 minutes.
And cool. Yeah. Not slow and cool, but like, but why would they do that? It's because they know they're not gonna get him.
If Russ did a man on the street video, it'd be a 30-minute long video as he's just arguing with every Eagles fan.
You could just do one right now. I'd be like, are you excited about the World Cup coming here? But before I ask you that, the tax implication. Like, it's just,
you gotta
the
factor
detail
in.
That he puts in is great.
You factor in that it's 2026. Now, we might not even be on this earth in 2026. Yeah. We'll have a new president by 2026. You gotta think about all these implications.
Do the midterm elections affect our ability to host World Cups? Possibly. But it really depends on voter turnout. And if there's turnout and also mail-in ballots, are we going to have, again, a divisive thing? I'd go to you.
I do.
I just love how he postures his question just to give you an answer. Yeah. It's my favorite part.
I mean, you can see Ant drooling on the side. He's
oh
just
my
like,
God. Sometimes I'll watch drooling. The thing and Bundy looks like he's literally about to be like, I'm done. Like, dude, say something.
It's like, Bundy hasn't talked in 10 minutes. That guy took too many hits to the head to just like,
yeah.
You got to throw him a bone before 10 minutes.
Yeah. And I do like Russ, but I love impersonating him. It's one of my favorite things to do.
It is the best. And it's not done enough.
No. Russ needs to be impersonated. I feel like he's a guy who doesn't like to be impersonated, though.
Him and John Clark would have the longest podcast of all time, and they would get through one segment. John Clark is the same way, where he'll just ask a question.
I'm telling you right now, F Terminal is the best terminal. I'm telling you right now, John. It's the best terminal. They have the best foods. They have food, smaller planes, a lot of things to go. Now, do I like the international terminal? Yes, it has the best seating, but B holds the most people. John would be like, he would just be listening to Bruce Springsteen and ask him if he has a daughter. Really piling on Johnny Clark today.
It's a good thing that 200 people only listen to this show, because it's not going to ever go anywhere, even though it probably could.
Who knows? It depends on these audits. Really depends on these audits. Sometimes I feel like we're doing the show just for one person. It's the guy with VV, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't actually know your name, but I just know you respond and I see the VV. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing the show just for him.
Yeah, because he would appreciate this stuff. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to play to an audience of one. Carson Wentz.
I know. Exactly. And the one guy that knows him from Medford Lakes who defended me against spelling Twitter. Like, those two guys are out there, and I do this for them.
Be like, that guy can't be a bad speller. He lives in Medford Lakes.
Yeah.
You can't even go in there. Darius Slay can't.
He can't go. Can't go in the lakes. No
Chris Christie
club.
Can't.
Canoe carnival this weekend.
Oh, man. You building one? Taking yours out?
No, I'm not. I can't do it.
What entails a canoe carnival?
So they're allowed. It's like they can use two canoes max, and they have to build a float, and they have to paddle it around the entire lake. It's pretty cool. I'll send you pictures.
Remember someone died?
No, he died at Mardi Gras. It's the night before. We were allowed to go get drunk on the lake the night before.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll send you pictures. It's actually pretty impressive what they can build on two canoes.
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Strikes me as like an Ozark kind of thing. Have you ever watched Ozark?
No. I know it's about a lake and drugs.
Yeah, Missouri. Yeah, and they do like church on the lake and stuff.
Payne's Valley.
Yeah, and everyone just brings out their boats and everything. I feel like Ozark would have a lake carnival, a canoe carnival. We'll have fun with the canoe carnival. Are you participating or no?
No, my wife and I we got tickets for the beach. We're just going to go throw our beach chairs out. We're going to go have dinner a little bit before. My mom's going to come over and watch the baby. Have a nice little night.
Is that?
It's probably the first one we've had.
I was going to say, is that the best thing that can happen? Like, is that what you look forward to? Like, is that like what being a parent's like, or being like married? Like, you look forward to like, wow, we have a night off.
I mean, it's not the crazy thing is, it's like we're not really getting a night off because the carnival doesn't really start till 9. We made dinner reservations for like 6:45, so we'll still like get him basically ready for bed and put him down. We're basically having my mom just sit here and make sure he doesn't wake up, which he won't. But like, it'll be nice to just be like, all right, now we can just go out and have an adult conversation, not have to worry about bringing a diaper bag, not worrying about rushing the clock to get home. Like, it'll be nice. Because I mean, our life is just so regimented right now. It's like, you have to remember these things. You have to be home by this time. You have to leave by this time. If you don't, you're living for hell. Like, it's just, it's a numbers game. And it's all about, like, we live on Lombardi time over here nowadays. if you're on time, you're 15 minutes late.
So it's the little things you're saying.
Yeah, it's a big win. It'll be nice. Fun. Yeah, I know.
Dude, I can't wait for some of the pictures.
Yeah, I'll send you pictures. They're cool. It's like, again, it is impressive what you can build on two canoes and a generator.
Nah, I look forward to hearing it. Hey, breaking news, Vince Scully died.
Yeah, breaking news.
I have a question, and I pose this to you offline.
You did pose this to me. Before we do the question, I don't think I realized how much Vince Scully actually called.
I don't think I did either.
No, I mean, like, big games. Like,
yeah,
you go back and listen to some, like, they were bringing things up on the radio today, and I'm like, holy shit. Like, I knew, but I never remember that he called the 86 Buckner game. But it's also like, holy shit, he called some of the biggest moments in baseball history. It's crazy.
So that brings me to my question. Did more people, more Americans, let's say, let's keep it in one set country, have more Americans heard the voice of Vince Scully, or have more Americans heard the voice of Harry Callis? And I think a simple-minded person will right immediately say and answer themselves, Vince Scully. But I think Harry Callis has quite an argument.
I think you could probably make the argument because of the NFL thing. Now, did Callis call NFL games?
He called NFL games on Westwood One, and he also...
on the radio.
But I'm also thinking about, he narrated
NFL films.
NFL
for a
films,
while.
And you got to think about how many NFL films classics you could watch on
YouTube.
He used
to do Inside the NFL for a while too.
He did used to do Inside the NFL. You know, he. I think it's mostly Callis on, or no, Vin Scully on longevity and NFL and the Masters, which was big back in the day. It still is. Don't get me wrong, but like back in the day, a lot of people.
All-Star,
I feel like,
games.
All-Star games, World Series games, but then you also have, you know, Callis, who called baseball, football for the Astros, the Phillies, NFL films, Westwood One. He did afternoon doubleheaders, the Hawaii Islanders. Who can forget them?
I didn't even know that was a who is that?
That's a minor league team.
Oh. So, but, like, seven people a game.
Sure. I mean, hey, listen, it doesn't help for the overall numbers, but... he also lent his voice to commercials for the movie Leatherheads, Campbell's Soup commercials, GMC truck commercials. How many GMC truck commercials do you see during the 4 o'clock hour?
Was Harry Callis doing GMC truck commercials?
Yeah, I'm on the. So I think it's tough because Vince Scully has called 4% of all MLB games, which is an insane stat going back to like the 1880s. That Vince Scully. Now, Vince Scully had a career from, what is it, 1950 to 2016. That's a 66-year career. Some right. Big events. You said, I mean, how many times, you know, I'll do this conversely. How many times have we watched the catch? I feel like every time that Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl, they always show the catch because Tom Brady was at the catch.
Right. So if you're including replays in this, right?
Yeah.
Those commercials come and go, but they get replayed a lot, probably for X amount of time. I would say it's Vince Scully still by a lot, but I don't think it's as much as we all think it would be. I think when you say, like, oh, if you're a simple-minded person, you would say Vince Scully and move on. I think the correct answer is Vince Scully, but it's closer than we all think it would be.
Okay, so you're drawing your line in the sand on the Vince Scully side, but giving some respect to Harry Callis.
I forgot about the commercials that he did for all that time. And
now,
I think
Scully
the NFL
did commercials too, obviously.
Yeah, I'm also looking this. It looks like Scully also lent his voice to for an episode of Simpsons, which tons of people watch The Simpsons. I think that plays in a little bit. Like, I know it's only one episode, but a lot of people watch it.
Definitely.
He called college football games as well. Like, it just seems the World Series back then was such a big deal, too. Like, it was such a big deal that everyone watched the World Series back then. And then the NFL and him calling Super Bowls are a pretty big deal, too.
Well, I promise you, Vin Scully was never in Sega Sports NFL 2K2 like Harry Callis was.
Tony Bruno, Madden 06. No, 05.
05. You got to think like, okay, so here, this I'll present another question.
He also sang in a barbershop quartet.
Vin?
Yeah.
Wow.
All through college. So.
Did he sell tickets? They probably did.
I don't know. Did he go to Fordham? He did go to Fordham. He sang in the Rams.
Oh, the Bronx.
Oh, yes. He sang in a barbershop quartet and played center field for the Fordham Rams baseball team wearing number 17. Called radio broadcasts for Rams baseball, football, and basketball. Earned a degree and 150 letters to a station along Eastern Seaboard. I don't even know what that means.
So you got to think.
Sent 150 things. Got it.
After every Phillies game, too, they play High Hopes by Harry Callis. So you're now getting the younger generation that are hearing his voice. I don't think they're playing any Vin Scully songs.
Don't they also like play that ball's out of here after every home run?
I don't. At the Citizens Bank Park? I don't know.
I think they do, or they did at one point.
I don't know if they say, let's get ready for Dodger baseball, like they do like Vin Scully used to do at every game. I'm just saying,
I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers still play that before every game.
I'm just saying.
The problem is we don't know like those like local traditions that they might do. Like if you, like I know about the High Hopes thing just because, but if you like some guy from Colorado, I'd be like, who the fuck's Harry Callis and what the hell is High Hopes? I think what goes against Harry Callis is he didn't have like the signature calls that Vince Scully had, which made Vince Scully the voice of baseball, where Harry Callis was probably just as good as a broadcaster. He just didn't have the national popularity. He was much more of a local guy.
I don't think his voice was also made for football. I think his voice was made for NFL films, calling a nice smooth, voice over a highlight.
I will ask you this question. How many times did you listen to Vin Scully actually call a game?
Probably on one hand, because he was out in LA.
So anytime the Mets would play the Dodgers in New York, and I always get the package, I would always listen to Vin call rather than the Mets call for those three games. Because he literally was telling you an entire story about a baseball game. He was everything that was great about calling a baseball game. Like, and he was a one-man booth, too. There was not a lot of one-man booths left. He had no commentator with him. He just was up there talking into the microphone, telling you the story, giving the play-by-play, giving you the commentary. And just the way he talked about baseball was the best.
It was a lot of the videos came out. A lot of highlights came out, like obviously of him calling and stuff. Hated Socialism, which was a hilarious clip. I never thought I'd ever see that.
Yeah. Man of God.
Yes. Told the story of Madison Bumgarner chopping up a snake and reviving bunnies back to life. In the middle of an at bat, as he was calling the at bat as well. I mean, the guy was aces, you know. And Harry was, but aces. Harry was great too. And
aren't there? I don't know if this is true. Aren't there like some odd stories about Harry out there?
He was drunk. Yeah, I mean, he enjoyed a martini or two or a cocktail or two, like
cocktails.
Like the best of us. But it wasn't. You weren't a drunk back then. You were just kind of. No.
How have they not landed one of the Callis, like the Callis boys, to just come be the broadcaster?
Maybe they're not good. I don't know. Oh, here's another Callis point. Callis provided the recorded voiceover for much of the self-guided tours of the United States Mint in Philadelphia and the Gateway Arch in St. Louis. Think about how many people visit the Gateway Arch.
Yeah, I mean, you really took it to the next level with all these things. I was more or less just saying in terms of his sports calls, I would say Vin Scully's probably.
Well, Vince Scully in terms of sports calls, I'd give you that because Harry's best ones are condensed to the Delaware Valley.
I also think it's very Philadelphia. You'd be like, oh, this famous guy died that everyone loves. He's like, yeah, well, our local guy that no one cared about when he died is much better.
Everything's got to be a competition. Yes. He also narrated the Animal Planet Puppy Bowls from 2005 to 2009.
I think I did know that.
Who can forget Puppy Bowl 1? I sure can't.
I don't think I've ever watched the Puppy Bowl.
Puppy Bowl 6, sorry, can't do Roman numerals, was dedicated in his memory. Vin Scully got any Puppy Bowls that were dedicated in his memory? Absolutely not.
No. Does Harry Callis have his own broadcasting booth? Is it the Harry Callis broadcast booth?
I'm sure it is.
Or is it the Richie Ashburn broadcast
booth? Whoa. Richie was good, but I don't remember anything.
I think
about
it might be called the Richie Ashburn broadcast booth.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, Harry.
I don't know. I think right now I'm going to go Callis. I'm going to go Callis on the longevity of him always being the victory song after the Phillies win. You're about to get you're him about roughly, I don't know, 26 times a year for about 10,000 people. You think if it's like 81 games?
Yeah.
No. Probably. Let's hope for 40. We'll hope 40 times a year.
And I guess your point would hold up, because if they say, like, are you ready for Dodger baseball at the beginning of the game, fans aren't there.
We got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fans aren't there. So
yes,
those people are not ready for Dodger baseball. They'll be ready by the third or fourth inning.
And everyone knows Philadelphia fans don't leave. They don't leave till the end of the game.
I've seen some empty stadiums.
No. They don't leave till the end of the game. Those are all – they went to the bathroom.
Oh. We got poops. Schmitter hits hard.
Schmitter hits hard. Fuck you, Greg Luzinski.
Schmitter hits hard.
Fucking loser.
Fucking loser. Dominated.
There's a lot of people we made enemies if they actually listened to this on this podcast today. So,
if John Clark listened to this podcast, he'd be like, I can't believe I ever went on there.
Nothing we said is not already on the public domain.
Yeah, it was already in the public domain.
Yes.
All I'm doing is reading mentions.
There's no laws against reading mentions and just regurgitating mentions, I'll tell you that. Anything else?
No, I have nothing else for you.
All right.
Other than, we didn't talk about it, but I'll just go ahead and say I'm the king of Medford Lakes. I've been here for less than a year and I already have their softball trophy, so go me.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
Yeah.
That's like show the Rams already year. Coming into LA.
Yeah, I show up title. 1 year, get my title. Now the standard's been set, and if I don't win next year, I'm going to burn the lake to the ground. Just a shitload of oil and matches.
There will be.
I'll evaporate the whole thing.
No canoe carnival next year.
Yeah. No canoe carnival. Not up in here.
Local Medford Lakes man burns lake down.
All over softball.
Yo, what's going on with the Pensauken Creek? Did you see the food dye get into it? Turned it red.
No. I don't even know where the Pensauken Creek is.
Pensauken.
I know, I assume. Although the Colorado River is also in Arizona, so.
What?
Yeah, it runs through the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River.
That's. No.
And the Mississippi River runs through Los Angeles. I mean, not Los Angeles, like Louisiana, all the way up to Minnesota.
Well, the Colorado River at least goes into Colorado. Like, it dumps into. Okay, all right. Yeah. That's all right. That makes more sense. I thought you said, like.
Hold on a second.
I thought you meant like the river.
We should.
There's a river in the Grand. Isn't that a desert?
No. That. How do you think the Grand Canyon was made?
Erosion and earthquakes.
Yeah, by a river. The river ran through and created it.
But there's no river anymore, right?
There's still a river. You have to cross it to get through it.
I have to get out more.
Grand Canyon, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, but I get the heebie-jeebies when I'm on a cliff. And I know there's a lot of cliffs.
You don't have to get that close to it.
Yeah, but I want to see the views.
You can also just walk down there. You can just walk down.
Yeah, but you can't get them from the aerial views.
Yeah, but like you could, Kyle. I'm telling you, when you go there, it looks like you're looking at something that's fake. It looks like someone just hung a backdrop. It's insane. It's one of those. It's very hard to explain how. Just like scenic it is, because the colors are crazy. There's not a cloud in the sky ever. Like it's not hot because it's up in northern Arizona. Like it is kind of just crazy to see. You're like, holy shit, how is that real?
Maybe John Clark should take a vacation there, stay forever to cover the Cardinals. And that's the Water Boys podcast. Yeah. With that, I'm Coach Gary. That's Kyle. We'll talk to you next week.